So can anybody bring God glory? Can anybody? Yes. Can anybody?
Yes.
Even you?
Yes.
Even me?
Yes.
Anybody can, right?
Yes.
Anybody. Anybody, everybody, anybody. Lest you think that you cannot bring God glory, time to throw that thinking out, isn't it? Each and every one of you that God placed on this planet for such a time as this, to be a person here during this time, you're here to bring God glory by who you are, by how you serve God, by how you show God and God's love to others. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The greatest gift that ever was given to all humanity came through Jesus Christ. But he came through a virgin. He came through a 14-year-old girl who wasn't married, who had an older husband to be. And she became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit because God saw her fit. I don't know what her credentials were. Probably didn't have any. Just an ordinary person that God said, oh, that's the one I'll use. I'll use Mary. So lest you think that anybody can't be used by God, know this. If God can use Mary, God can use you. God can use all of us. And God can use more of us all the time. If we remember that God lives within us. When Emmanuel came, it was God with us. And then when Jesus left the earth, it was God within us. So God is within each and every one of you that's accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your soul, and you've surrendered your life to him to be the servant, just like Mary, who said, whatever it is, let it be. Even though it sounded, I don't know what, I mean, incredible to that woman, right? Just imagine God says, hey, you're going to bring the Son of God, the Messiah, to the world. Me? Oh, me? Isn't that what we sometimes think? Isn't it? Yes. God is sovereign. God chooses whoever God chooses. So just surrender to that. If God has chosen you for whatever it is that you're to do for God, just go with it. Because anybody can serve God. Anybody. All the anybodies here? Ah, and those even watching on Facebook, you're anybody's too. So there you have it. Awesome. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel this morning because I wanted to, I know I digressed a little bit into the Christmas story, lest you haven't heard it before. Anyway, but I wanted to, I often look at people throughout Scripture, and very often, I don't know about you, but I relate to that. And I relate to this particular story for a number of reasons. One is that our church just celebrated 25 years. We did, and we are. Yes. And when we started this church, it was like, okay, you choosing us to create a church for you. Okay, you know what you're thinking, God? You got this under, you understand who we are? Do you know us? God says, yeah, I know you. And because God knows us and our imperfections, because we are not without imperfections, lest you didn't, I know you know that, right? And please don't, let's not point my nose right now. Okay, that'd be all right. But see, God uses imperfect people to do God's perfect will. And then God gets the glory as a result of that because we all know it wasn't us. Believe me, we know it wasn't us that pulled this. It wasn't us. It was God's power within us. We just showed up. We just showed up, and we keep showing up, so sorry. Here we are again. Yay. All right, beautiful. Awesome. All right. And you're showing up too. But I want you to understand that even though we had a beginning 25 years ago, you are part of our future. You're part of our now, and you're part of our future. You're part of continuing to do God's work throughout this time that God has put us here and you here. That's what we're all here for as one church family. To continue to show God's love, offering God's love to all. And anybody can show God's love, can't they? We're capable of that, right? Yes, we can. Of course we can. Awesome. So let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. And like I said, I relate to this because if you ever gone through life kind of trying to figure things out, like, why did this happen? How did this happen and that happen and this other thing happen? And then sometimes you're in the middle of something happening and you go, why is this happening now? Anybody ever do any of that? Okay. Sometimes more than others, right? So here's the cool thing about God. God eventually lets you in on why it happened. And it may not be for you, just so you know. It may be a blessing for somebody else. 1 Samuel 9. Kish was a rich, influential man from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel and grandson of Zerah from the family of Becherah and the clan of Aphia. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. One day, Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, "Take a servant with you and go look for them." So Saul took one of his servants and traveled all through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shaphelah, at the Shalem area, and the entire land of Benjamin. But they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. They should have probably Googled donkey finders. Oh, just saying. Anybody ever lost anything of value? You go looking for my keys. Anybody seen them recently, by the way? Okay. Anyway. Finally, they entered the region of Zoph, and Saul said to his servant, "Let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys." Obviously, this took a long time. You went through, this is big land. They were looking for these donkeys. Right? They couldn't find them. And then Saul realizes, hey, we better go. We're not going to find these donkeys. Forget it. They're gone. We got to go back home. So sometimes when you're out looking for things, you go, I give up, right? Let's go home, right? That's what Saul does here. But the servant said, "I've just thought of something. There is a man of God who lives here in the town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go." Ah, I'm going to go seek counsel from a man of God. If you ever lose anything in your life, and I mean something of spiritual value, you know, I'm not talking about just keys. Many of us lose our way from time to time, right? Or we lose track of things in spiritually speaking, right? Go to a person of God, because perhaps that person of God who has the gift of prophecy can help you sort things out and say things from God to help you find your way. So this servant says, hey, I have an idea. Let's go bring God into this scenario. What must you do whenever you're lost? Pray. Seek counsel from someone that's godly. Use other than your own way of looking for things. I know we're resourceful, and I know we're self-sufficient, but wouldn't it be a little wiser to seek counsel from someone of a spiritual guidance? Of course, yes. So that's what Saul decides to do. All right, he agreed, let's try it. So they started into the town where the man of God was. As they were climbing a hill toward the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water. So Saul and his servants asked, "Is the seer here today?" Another word for prophet. "Yes," they replied. "Stay right on this road. He's at the town gates. He has just arrived to take part in a public sacrifice up on the hill. Hurry and catch him before he goes up the hill to eat. The guests won't start until he arrives to bless the food." Sound familiar? So they entered the town, and as they passed through the gate, Samuel was coming out toward them to climb the hill. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry." When Samuel noticed Saul, the Lord said, "That's the man I told you about. He will rule my people." Now are you understanding why the donkeys got lost? God always has a bigger plan, a bigger mission in mind, right? Just then, Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, "Can you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer." Boing. Samuel's going up the hills. Saul's coming down. Bam. Did God want that appointment to happen? Are there any coincidences in our life? There are only divine appointments. There are only divine circumstances. Always. Did God lose those donkeys for a good reason? "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go on up the hill ahead of me to the place of sacrifice, and we'll eat there together. In the morning, I will tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. Oh, and don't worry about those donkeys." I don't even know about the donkeys. You ever notice every Sunday or once in a while on a Sunday we're preaching and suddenly you think, they obviously have a video camera and a microphone in my car or home. I was just thinking about that yesterday, and somehow these pastors, they bring that up. Where do they put that microphone anyway? You see how God always sees what's happening in all of our lives and makes sure that God speaks to you through others? And sometimes we're worried about looking for donkeys, right? We're so dealing with things in life that we're focused on that stuff, right? We're frantic about, where's my donkeys? I got to find my donkeys. When God has a bigger plan in mind. We're going through life doing so many things that cause us to be busy, distracted sometimes, looking for things that will not satisfy us, will not matter in 20 years, 30 years, or 100 years from now. But we focus on all those things sometimes, and we get so in the moment of sometimes when we've lost something or someone or whatever the case might be, we get stuck there sometimes, don't we? And God has what? A greater plan, a bigger mission for you, a greater purpose for your life than just what the fact is that you lost your donkeys. The donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, no significance with that number. They have been found. And I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hopes. What? I'm here to tell you that you are people's hope. You are people's joy. You are people's way of finding their way into eternal life and eternity. You are your way to being someone who could help lift up another person who's in sorrow or pain or loss, someone who needs a healing. You are people's hope. Anybody? Everybody. Saul replied, "This is what we do, isn't it? But I'm only from Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like that to me?" Anybody here besides me have self-esteem issues? No, us, no, we're all confident. We believe in God, yeah. I remember the very, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm going to. I don't ever want my sermons to be about me, but I think it helps you relate, maybe. Because each and every one of us feel inadequate. We feel less than. We never feel good enough. We're not perfect enough sometimes in our mind and our heart. We're not smart enough. We don't have enough theological training sometimes, we think, to be able to be a servant for God. And I remember the first time I walked through a communion line in this prophet that happened to be at the church said to me, "You'll be a pastor one day." And I went, "What is this guy on?" He hit a little too much of that communion wine before he... And then one day I was sitting and listening to the preacher preach, and I heard God say to me, you will be a greater preacher than that. And I went, I think he's talking to you. I think God, like, it bounced. That was 1986. A few years ago. Sometimes, if we're not careful, what we think of ourselves can impede our greatness for God. If God chooses you for whatever it is God's choosing you for, say so be it. And later on, when I was ordained, the scripture that I owned was from Isaiah 6. Who's going to go tell my people about all the good news of the kingdom of God? I will, send me. That was my saying yes. That was 2001. There's a process in all of us as we get over ourselves and the parts of us that we know are sometimes imperfect, and we just accept God's will. And then you watch what God does. Miraculous, awesome, beautiful things in all of our lives. God chose Saul. Right away, he says, I'm from the smallest tribe, Benjamin. Now, Benjamin actually was a warrior tribe. Benjamin was going to be used by Jacob as one of Jacob's sons to defeat the Philistines who were coming against God's people. That's why Saul was chosen as from that tribe, because it was prophesied to Jacob, to Benjamin, that's who Saul would become. No accidents. Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the great hill and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. Samuel then instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor. Listen, if God wants to bless you and take you from the foot of the table and put you at the head of the table, so be it. And whoever that is that God chooses, so be it. It is not our role in life to judge who God chooses. And it's not your role in life to tell God whether or not he can choose you. Sorry. Because just imagine. If Mary had said, forget this, I'm not going, I don't want this. Or if Jesus said, you know what, I like heaven a lot better. Why would I go to earth? And especially, why would I go to the cross? If none of that happened, where would we be? If you weren't here to touch the lives of others, one life, it could be one life. If you're not here to tell them the good news of the awesomeness of God and the love of God and God's acceptance for everyone and God's eternal life for everyone and that God loves you just the way you are, even though you're imperfect. And through the lens of Christ, he sees perfection. If you don't do that one thing that God's called you to do, because anybody can serve God, that one life is never changed. That person's hope, that light they could have had, it goes out. You are the change that people need. Anybody can serve God. We just have to make the commitment to do it no matter what. No matter what we think of ourselves, or no matter what you think of yourself, or what you think of me, or I think of you, so be it. God is choosing you to love others and to do whatever it is you can do to bless the life of someone else. You're the hope of God. You're the joy of God. Remind your face of that from time to time. So the cook brought it and placed it before Saul. Go ahead and eat it, Samuel said. I was saving it for you before I invited these others. So Saul ate with Samuel. After the feast, when they returned to the town, Samuel took Saul up to the roof of the house and prepared a bed for him there. At daybreak the next morning, Samuel called up to Saul, "Get up, it's time for you to go on your way." So Saul got ready, and he and Samuel left the house together. When they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. And after the servant was gone, Samuel said, "Stay here. I have a special message to you from God." Oh, the plot thickens. You know, if somebody ever said to you, "I have a special message to you from God," what do you think you're going to do? Oh, you know, run. Speaking as a true founder of the church, she ran all the way to the Dominican Republic because God said, "Go there." Who's going to go? She said, "Send me." And she went. Not only was one life changed, who knows, a thousands, right? One person, you can make a difference. Can anybody serve anywhere, anytime? Who's going to send you there? God is. And when God says go, you say, "Wait a minute, I got to watch Netflix. I've been binging on Netflix." No. After the football game. So I'm not going to continue reading all of Samuel 10 for you. However, Samuel anoints Saul. And I just want to go down to some verses here. Verse 9, it says, as Saul turned and started to leave, God changed his heart. Samuel anointed him. What happened to Saul? God changed his heart. He wasn't any more worried about donkeys. He wasn't worried about dad and all the financial money he was going to get from dad, Mr. Rich Kish, right? His heart was changed. He decided to serve God from that moment forward. All of us, before we can do anything for God, our heart has to change. Our heart has to change in the sense that we see all people equally. No one is better or worse. No one is less than anyone else. All equal to God, and we must look at people that way. Always. Our heart has to change. When that happens, everything changes afterwards. And all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw the prophets coming toward them. Now there's more prophets on the way. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy. Another anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Saul. When his friends heard about it, they exclaimed, "What, is Saul a prophet? How did the son of Kish become a prophet?" Yeah. Does it matter whose son or daughter you are? Any one of us that might have come from semi-dysfunctional homes or super fantastic dysfunctional homes, and if for someone like me, we put the fun in dysfunction, so, you know, we come from places like that, does that mean God can't use us even though we're dysfunctional in our beginnings? No, because God changes our heart, right? And so it doesn't matter who our mother, father, uncle, brother, or anyone else is. You could be a son of a Kish. Next verse, read this one. It doesn't matter who his father is. Anyone can become a prophet. If God chooses. Anyone can serve God if God chooses that. Anyone can. So that is the origin of the saying, is Saul a prophet? When Saul had finished prophesying, he climbed the hill to the altar. "Where in the world have you been?" Saul's uncle asked him. "You've been gone a long time. We went looking for donkeys. That's where we've been." Listen, while you're living your life, doing your thing, you know, all of us have had careers or still have careers. all of us have had degrees in college and this and that and the other thing, and many of us have done all kinds of things, right? Right? We got relationships and friendships and all that stuff, and TV stuff to watch and friends to hang around with and all that other. We got a food to eat, and more food to eat. Can constantly, right, to just be ourselves, right? Going from here to there and everywhere, don't we? We've got shopping to do. We got all these busy things we got to do, don't we? While you're doing that, you know what God's doing? Asking you to serve. Right in the middle of something that might have occurred in your life that you don't understand why it happened, and it might not have been a great thing. Some things are worse than losing our donkeys. Right? Anytime we've lost a relationship, a friendship, a job, when life hands us something we were totally unexpecting, that's not a positive thing. Losing people we love. Losing out on a promotion we thought we deserved. We can get wrapped up in that, can't we? But you know what? God has greater plans. When we stop focusing on what we've lost and look at why we're here instead, what are you here to do? What is your life purpose? Why do you exist at this time, in this place, in this specific church? Why? Something greater than you can even dream or imagine. And while you're busy doing all this other stuff, God is saying, I can use that person for something special. Anyone can be used by God. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter your past, no matter how messed up you are, God loves to take a mess and make a message out of it. Case in point. Question is this: where are we going to spend our time and our energy? One, don't waste your time just looking for donkeys. Look for what God is really asking you to search for. Maybe when I think about Saul, I think about the fact that he lost the donkeys. It reminds me of the time when Jesus said to Peter, you're going to go fishing for people. Maybe later on, Saul was the one who was going to go finding people for God. Sometimes it's easier to find people because they land on your doorstep sometimes. Sometimes you have to really be seeking them. Because your heart has changed. You want others coming into the kingdom of God, don't you? So can anybody prophesy? Can anyone serve God? Anybody? Including you? Are you sure about you? You're positive about you? Now the next question is, when will you get started? This side of the room wins again. So let me ask the question again one more time. Can anybody serve God?
Yes.
Can anybody love others?
Yes.
Can anybody bring people hope?
Yes.
Can anybody serve God?
Yes.
When will you start?
Now.
Amen.